you know.
That's right.
But it is a. It was really shocking last night when I left the county council meeting, and that snow was coming down so thick, and I had to clean the car off to be able to see to back out. And, of course, you know, your equipment to clean snow off, it's no longer setting inside the car because you think you're through with snow.
That's right.
So it was kind of a shocking thing. No one expected it to be like that.
That's exactly right. Luckily, we didn't need anything paved or scraped or salted or anything else that went along with it. It was more just surprising than anything else. And, well, it was supposed to happen sectional week. It didn't. Well, we'll make it. Next week is spring. Our clocks have sprung forward. So hopefully we're onward and upward. But you did have a meeting last night. We know you were busy there. Before we get to the details of that, where are we on state legislation? I know we've been talking about some annexation stuff. Are we wrapping that up soon? Where is that bill? I know there's been some back and forth about that with Monroe County, and not Monroe County arguing back and forth, but keeping an eye on what's going to happen there. Fill me in if you would.
Right. Well, that annexation language is in the one that I was watching is in House Bill 1104, and there's a lot of other local government language in there, not just having to do with Monroe County, one of which was moving the income tax distribution around in Hamilton County, and that was one of the biggest sticking points when this bill went back into conference. And so there was a lot of debate from people in Hamilton County about that. So I'm concerned that that might be keeping that bill locked up and not moving forward out of conference. And for whatever reason, the Senate closed down early yesterday rather than working through in the evening as the House did. So they'll have their plate really full to try to finish up, and so it remains to be seen whether or not House Bill 1104 will even get through.
Now, Marty, last year we saw some last-minute wranglings, wheelings, and dealings, whichever we'd like to call, or not last year, but we've seen, maybe it was last year.
Right, having to do with the annexation.
Yes, is that
well.
Something that can happen again where at the 11th hour somebody can say, hey, we'll put this in here and we need to pay attention to these things? Or
right, and it's sometimes it's really hard to find out where it might have found a home. In other words, there's a lot of legislation changes in that House bill that might have bits and pieces been moved elsewhere. I do not know. I mean, I've just never elected at the state level, never ran for anything at the state level. So they're up there making the sausage as we speak. But it's my hope that something about this waiver language having to do with the annexation will find a home someplace, because that is saying that all of those really old waivers that were signed by who knows who back many, many years ago, that they would have to have been acted on within 15 years in order for them to be viable. There's some language that was put in place a year or so ago that said any new waivers could only be valid for 15 years. So this is going back and saying the old waivers, they'd have to be recorded, they couldn't be older than the 15-year mark and so forth. And I'm not quoting it exactly. I'm just going by memory here. But that certainly would make a big difference to so many of the property owners who are saying, I didn't even know there was that my right to remonstrate against being annexed was taken away from me because these things were not even included in their documentation when they were closing on their property.
Yeah, that's an interesting one.
I mean, if it's not recorded, how is a property owner buying a piece of property even to know there was supposedly a waiver on there? And, of course, the city was rushing to the recorder's office to record a huge stack before all of this happened. So So we'll just see what happens at the state level. It may very well get hung up and nothing will happen, and we'll go from there. Of course, in the meantime, the city is still suing, saying that they want to move forward the annexation. So a lot of our funding is tied up to how we're going to operate county government with whether or not the city moves forward with this annexation.
So wouldn't you just operate it like you normally do now until it changes? The only thing you can do?
It would be my hope that we would keep an eye on it and understand the city has full... they want to proceed with at least a portion of this annexation. So it seems to me that county would be very responsible in making sure we're not growing our expenses any more than absolutely necessary. And we should always be looking at that. But
right.
There's a lot of people who like to see things continue to grow and enlarge. I think we need to be very cautious about additional spending right now in that county general fund or any other fund where we can move dollars around to be able to support county government. Because these next few years will fly by pretty quick and will make a big difference in how we're going to be able to afford to take care of county government. Now, part of what we looked at last night was expanding our youth shelter and the services there. And now that is paid for with another income tax that was put in place several years ago. I believed at the time that we should not have done it in that fashion, that we should have said, let's push for that public safety tax, and then our proportionate share of it could have helped with the youth shelter.
Does the public safety tax now have anything to do with the youth shelter?
No, it's not supposed to, although they had put something in the budget that did, and we had to get that back out because we can cover juvenile detention out of the public safety tax, but we're not supposed to be covering detention out of that youth services tax. I know it sounds pretty crazy, but that's $300,000, and you've got to watch where those dollars, where it's being budgeted from, because that's, you know, the state could come back and say, no, you can't do that, and we'd have to come up with where we're going to get the money. So we fixed that part last night. But having to do with the growth of youth shelter expenses right now is deciding on how we're going to go about remodeling and renovating the existing shelter and administration offices and counseling offices. And so all of that needs to be rehabbed because it was back in the 90s when it was built, so there's a lot of refurbishing that needs to happen. In addition, the older house that's setting up closer to, I believe that's Adam Street, I've been told that they plan to demolish that and add on to our youth shelter for additional operational, not bed space for the shelter, but operational places
so
for
right now
families to meet.
Okay, gotcha. So right now the shelter needs additional offices, meeting places, things like that. It's not going to expand. It's bed
service. I'm told
it's
not that they're not going to have any additional employees, that they just would like to have areas where they meet in consultation with families, that they're not open to conversation with other families, that there's more privacy in having counseling and so forth, and they want a larger area where the youth can go for exercise and so forth, which we were told that if at any point they would need more bed space and we would go to get qualified for more bed space, that we might be able to use a portion of that to grow the bed space into there. Right now, we are licensed to be a 15 bed space. Well, if we increase that bed space at all, then we have to get licensed for a larger bed space.
Sure, and then you need more staff, then you need more of this, you need
right.
more of that.
And it
right.
would be automatic whether we actually used it or not. So you do have to be cautious about saying, well, we want more bed space. And would we actually do that when 40% about of juveniles who are using that facility are from other counties.
Right, and you're not even at capacity on that, which I read in today's paper. The HT doing a good job keeping up on that. Marty Hawks, our guest this morning, the county councilwoman, checks in. Why does the youth shelter need to be refurbished, expanded? Is it just an older building? Is it being overrun with cases? What is the...
Well, the shelter itself and the administration office and counseling offices, that was built back in the 90s, early 90s. And so, of course, any building that gets that old, you have to do... I'm pretty excited about making sure that we have better kitchen space and better storage space and all the things it takes when you have that many youth in and out. Now, even though we have a 15-bed facility, that certainly does not mean that there's 15 juveniles in there all the time. I think on average it's more like 7. I looked at some numbers, it looked more like 6, but 7 or something.
About
like
half.
That.
Let's just round and call it around half.
Right, right. But I think one of the big reasons, the big push for this is because the house at some of these, the administration offices located, that house is in, I've been told, the kind of condition the house needs to come down and they need to just figure out what they're going to do, all that. And then so they decided, well, we'll just go ahead and add on to the shelter building. Now, that we're talking $3 million. So that is a big chunk of money for the renovation and adding on. However, there is money set aside. There's $1.2 million left over out of that old welfare budget that local families paid in for taxes. When we paid our taxes, we used to have welfare on our taxes, and we saved that money back just for juvenile services. And then we have another fund of 1.6 that has been saved back from where the shelter folks get paid for taking care of children that are placed there by the courts. And not just other counties, because we also get paid for the youth that are placed there by the courts if it's a Department of Child Services pays us. So those two funds are saved back, and I believe sufficient to cover the growth of this building, to pay for the construction cost of this building. If we go to local people and ask for an additional tax to do this when we're sitting there with the money, sufficient funds to do it, then that just means that somebody really is either they don't understand the budget or they just believe they would rather hang on to some money and go borrow money to pay for this construction.
Well, let me ask you a dumb question. Why don't you rent a spot? And just do that instead of build and spend this kind of money. Why don't you just find some place you can rent? And has anybody done a cost-benefit analysis on that? Is that how it works? Or do we have to spend this money? Do we have to buy something with it? I don't know how that works. That's why I'm asking.
No, we do not have to. We can set on that money. We could use that money for operational. If for some reason the income tax didn't come in as we had hope that it would, or something of the sort, but what they actually are, it appears to me, is they're not talking about just that 15 bed shelter facility. What they're actually wanting to do is the administration building, the council, where and also where all the counseling takes place. They want to grow that space and to make it more efficient to handle counseling with families. So it's sort of it appears to me to be kind of a treatment facility, not the families would be staying overnight, but where they are going for counseling, where the youth and the parents or other siblings would be going for counseling.
Yeah, I understand all that, but to build a $3 million deal to go along with it when you could rent some space of the world. I don't know. I'm not in real estate. I don't know how all this works, but That's something interesting. Also, the people that is served by this youth shelter, if you're going with these families, this counseling and everything else, do we know if it's 80%, 20% from Monroe County? Do we know the splits from surrounding counties? Why are we going to be holding the bag as taxpayers?
Well, and I don't like at all the fact that we would be holding the bag as taxpayers for building this building at all. What the money that's saved back, if they want to use that to renovate the building, then that's one thing. But to go to the taxpayers and ask for an additional tax to pay back, to go borrow money to do it and hang on to this money too, I think is an insult to the people of Monroe County, because we want to take care of our youth, but we also want the other counties to step up and pay for taking care of their youth. So that, of course, is just my opinion.
Right. So you'll hear more about after when the architect designs that, and that's $190,000 to get that going. And then if you don't like it, you're out $190,000. How does that work?
Well, they definitely are going to be doing something, but the $190,000 is to put all this together and to give us better look at what the numbers would be. We don't know for sure it's going to be
$3 million. I'll make my Ghost of Margaret Fetty joke right now. Why don't we take the old recycling center building that's sitting in pieces somewhere and use that and put it up at the youth shelter?
Okay. Well, I will send you there to talk with Judge Galvin and see what he thinks.
It's a joke. But part of that was in the news the other day.
I can't fall over that joke, but I've got to tell you, moving on with the solid waste.
There's a building sitting around somewhere, isn't there? Put that thing to use.
I mean, that is really a travesty. I mean, we had somebody who moved forward and bought the equipment to build a building he bought the supplies and the materials, but he didn't get the price of what it was going to actually cost to build the building or do the landscaping or the drainage. I'm just going by memory here about all of the fallout of that, but then it was determined we're just not going to do it at all, so there it says. Now, in the meantime, I watched the meeting the other night with Kessler, who was the person who was making the presentation having to do with whether or not to do a materials recycling facility or just what to do. And you know, they came up with telling us, repeating it in different words, but it all came out the same. Look, you just don't have enough coming in to make this work. We just do not have the amount of trash coming in to make all of this work. And I'm thinking, well, that's exactly what we've heard every time we pay for another report. So there went another $100,000 to get another report. I don't know.
Oh, I'm with you. I'm listening.
I don't understand why we keep doing this.
Does it continue from here? What's the next step?
Well, I think that there's hopefully this will put an end to people who really had believed that we could do this mixed waste facility.
Out there on the west side, right?
Well, there was a big deal about that part too.
Well, but that's the whole deal. Somebody said there's a huge business for trash and recycling here. Well, this kind of proves maybe that's not the case.
Well, that was a transfer facility. So
okay.
That was all.
Well, what
of
are they transferring?
Bringing their trash in. So, and it wasn't supposed to be recycling. It was supposed to just get all this trash in and haul it off to Terre Haute. Well, what the county was looking at, Solid Waste District was looking at, was making our own recycling facility, and it hadn't worked. We've tried that. We had a landfill. We had to close the landfill. We had a recycling facility that was losing money and not working. And they have this contract now where the trash goes elsewhere. But we already have out in the county recycling available to county residents and really to other county residents, other counties as well. They just pay for the bags, and then they can, that's where they can take their trash. But the recycling, they've got bins there if you want to do recycling. But there's very, in the whole scheme of things, the bigger amount of trash being collected here in Monroe County outside of the city is private trash haulers. And there, you cannot require those private trash haulers to take them to a county's recycling facility. So this just simply is something that hopefully people will say we're doing a pretty good job just the way it is. Quit trying to reinvent the wheel.
Well, we could do a whole show on trash, I guess, because I learn something every time we talk about trash and recycling. And I guess I'm probably not the only one on this involved as well. So,
well, it's just a lot of money, and people start making decisions about the public's money, and each different board believes their mission is the most important. Whether it's the library or the solid waste or the people looking at jail facilities, and that's the next thing we'll have to be looking out at, what we're going to do about that. And that, even if it might be 5 years from now, so at some point in time, we're going to get hit with this additional cost. And the city thinking that they could use the money from community crossings to work on a state highway. What was that about? And now they're looking for extra money, you know, for the interest and for the hospital. I keep waiting. They're going to come to the county somehow. I just think, is that what they're
going to do?
Well,
you all have to work together.
Well, they should have had this figured out. That's what I bragged about Lisa Ridge, our highway person, because she absolutely understands how this works. That would not have happened. I cannot believe that would have happened. As county, but whoever thought they could use that local road and street, the money coming in from community crossings, which was supposed to be for local roads, and how they thought they could use that on a state highway for an intersection is beyond me.
Well, and that's why they're now looking for additional funding to make all that work, because it, by law, it can't work, correct?
It can't work with that money. They'll have to figure something else out.
All right, Marty, we've tackled enough here on a spring break Wednesday. The next time we talk to you will be official spring. How does that sound?
I'm ready for that.
All right, well, enjoy the rest of your spring break here, St. Patrick's Day, all of it, and we'll talk next Wednesday.
Okay, thank you.